evening, and welcome everyone out to our planning commission meeting this evening. Apologise for being just a few minutes behind schedule as we get going. But we'd like to begin this evening with a reverence or thought given by Donald Speth, and followed by the Pledge of Allegiance given by Paul Mendenhall.
As we come before thee in this council meeting, we're grateful for the many blessings that thou hast given us. We're grateful for this wonderful country that we have, the freedoms that we do enjoy, for being able to meet in a public meeting and being able to share our thoughts and understandings. We're grateful for our council members for their dedication and time in providing all of the services they provide in the city. Bless us that we may have thy spirit in this meeting, that we may be able to discuss the issues that are present and a pleasant matter before thee. We're thankful for all the many blessings we have, for all the blessings in this country. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Will everyone please rise? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Donald, all for your willingness to participate in the program this evening. I think we have a little discussion going on in the back of the room tonight. Apologize for that. Moving on, item 1.3 is our roll call. I'd like to just note that we do have a full quorum present here tonight to conduct our business. Item 1.4 on our agenda is approval of the minutes for December 17th, 2015. I will entertain a motion.
Motion approved.
So we have a motion to approve.
A second.
And 2 seconds. We had Adam with the second on that one. So all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? That motion carries. Before we get into our regular agenda for this evening, I would like to just call your attention to our public comment policy and procedure that can be found on the rear of your agenda, right near the bottom for this evening. We do have a few items that are on the agenda for our public hearing this evening. So those that are wishing to comment, if you would make mention of this policy. The purpose of public comment is to allow citizens to address items that are on the agenda. Citizens requesting to address the Planning Commission will be asked to complete one of our written comment forms, which are located in the rear of the room, and present them to Cindy, our Deputy Recorder, prior to leaving tonight. In general, we allow an individual up to 3 minutes to address items on the agenda. If we do have a spokesperson here that is recognized as representing a larger group in attendance, they may be allowed up to 5 minutes to address the Planning Commission. And this, again, will apply to all public hearings. So we ask it, that as we get into those items which are listed on the agenda for a public hearing this evening, that we adhere to this. We will be keeping time just to make sure that we're respectful and giving everybody the same opportunity to comment. Again, we may all have differing opinions on different issues, so we ask you just be respectful in any of your comments this evening. But we do appreciate you taking the time to be in attendance here tonight. With that, we will go ahead and get into... that's fine, sir. Yeah, you go ahead and bring it up to our reporter now. I know. It was going off the other microphone as well.
Hi.
That's Chris.
Still in Robinson.
Hello.
They're all doing it.
Yeah, apologize for that. We'll go ahead and continue. Okay, we'll get right into our agenda items this evening. Item 2.1 on our agenda, this is file 26S15, KW Advisory Group, located at 7360 West and 13300 South. This is for a proposed single family lot subdivision of 32 units. This public hearing was open on November the 5th, and we have left this public hearing open since we've had anticipated changes to the layout. So, Brent.
All right, so as you said, we had this on a couple times. Wow. I'm loud enough. This is out west on the north side of Main Street or Harmon Highway. The only reason we continued this last time was we wanted to work the roundabout. So as you can see, they have adjusted their plan to get that roundabout to work, and they've been working with engineering on the right location and size of that roundabout. They do have 32 lots. The fire is not an issue as far as the access. They've worked that out with fire. They'll restrict a couple of those lots until that second access comes through. The one issue was density and just making sure you guys were okay. Giving them the density points to get to that many lots. So then again, we did move the public hearing up so people could see the new layout with the roundabout.
Okay. Any further questions for Brandon at this time? Okay, seeing none, the applicant is present and would like to come forward.
Good evening.
If you'll begin with your name and address for the record, please.
Colby Bond, KW Advisory Group, 1514 West, 925 South in Syracuse. We worked with Blake and Green kind of going through this. I know there were some questions on density, and I think, and we're kind of looking at the roundabout as a system improvement density. We didn't really discuss this in the work meeting. Obviously, we've got a chance to discuss tonight. It's a recommendation that, maybe not a recommendation, but a suggestion that Commissioner Jacobs in the morning. And so that's why we have the 32. By adding that
point to
intensity.
Okay.
All right. Is there any additional questions for the applicant this time?
There's only one question I have. I guess it's between you and staff that can help maybe. We have on number four on the recommendations install 6 foot high solid visual barrier on the north. East and west. Are we not doing anything on the south side that's along that road?
We didn't recommend it, but you can.
I'm just wondering if there, I guess, the reasoning behind. I don't know. It may not matter.
We usually do it adjacent into existing properties. I mean, they probably got a lot along the road anyway.
Okay. I know part of the discussion we had was this being kind of the entrance. Mm-hmm. Into from the west side into the city, and what the feel was that we wanted through this area. So I think that's a good item.
We need to define that, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm just curious, because as a homeowner, the rear part of their yard, they're going to put a fence, I'm assuming, at some point. The majority of the owners, mm-hmm. anyway. It probably would be best to have at least one specific. Sure. And not get different from every owner. So
I agree, and I think it should be masonry. And I think that because that's going to be an entrance into the city, that it should be a masonry. And then number nine, we talk about what kind of landscape he's going to put there, whether it's going to be grass, whether it's going to be a desert feel, or what we're going to require him to have when he comes in there. Because we're giving you an extra lot, extra two lots. That's my reasoning.
Yeah, I think we're definitely not opposed to suggestion on how you like that landscaped and fenced.
I think where that's in that street.
So we could probably have them work with the city on that, probably match the roundabout or something. However, that's going to be.
Exactly.
Put it in there somehow. Wow, that echoes.
But he's going to have to do that. Landscape all the way up the edge of the property, go through the landscape and everything. So,
Yes. Yep. Okay. Any other questions at this point? Okay. Okay. Seeing none, we'll let you go ahead and take a seat. as mentioned, this item's public hearing has been left open since our November 5th meeting, again anticipating changes to the layout to allow public input. So anyone wishing to comment on this item, feel free to come forward now. Again, we'll ask anyone to chooses to comment to fill out one of our comment forms located in the rear of the room. And also to, if you come forward, please state your name and address for the record. So anyone, please come forward at this time for item 2.1. Okay. No one wishing to come on item 2.1. Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and close the public hearing on item 2.1 at this time and turn to the member of the Planning Commission for further discussion and possible action.
So I'm actually good with it. I agree with everything you talked about. I just think that the landscape of the roundabout, as well as all of the landscape along the 10-foot.
And maybe is that a requirement for the landscaping to come back with their... I don't want to see just a grass thing in there.
I want it to be something special that's coming out of there.
Including the roundabout and everything.
Yes, absolutely. And so maybe they could get their architect and come back with that. We could approve of that. On number 10, we need to make sure we put 32 lots in rather than 30.
Okay.
And then I think, like you said, a masonry wall. The only thing that I'm wondering about is as we go further down this road into the city, you actually have some of the older airmen that's actually facing the street. So I'm wondering if it'll break them not flow very well, or if it will.
It's going to come up the top of that hill.
Yeah.
And then we don't want a field fence to match the old park down, do we? So I think that's a good place to start.
Okay.
With that, and if it comes up there,
I think the masonry is fine. And then if they bring it back to the landscape plan, I want to show us something. We're looking at it that time. And now I'm good with solid masonry and the requirements.
And then their backyards are on the main road, and it'd be safer.
They're going to put a fence there. Just whether we decide what it is now or someone else decides later.
Yep.
I just don't think that we ought to come back in here with the final fence on our main street.
But I really do appreciate that working with us all and I think that's really made it a lot easier to help give it the density that it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
the only other comment I would have is obviously in the staff report, this was, and Blake already mentioned, changes from what the staff written to 30 to 32 because of the masses. But I think we made another requirement that talks about the two lots outside of 30 for the development restrictions because of masses.
Okay. I think I could do that.
Ready? Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a motion to approve item 2.1.26S15, which is just a clarification that says the units of 32, just because the agenda actually does not show that. Just want to make sure we can hear that too. With the following changes to the staff recommendations, a number 9 to provide an additional 10-foot landscaping right away along 13100 South. Amendment 10 of the subdivision allowed a maximum of 2.35 units per acre based on the density on the criteria, therefore only 32 lots are approved with the requirement that only 30 lots are built according to fire
until
the second access is brought in. With an additional requirement, item 11, which requires a south masonry fence that parallels Rose Canyon Road. I'm sorry, not Rose Canyon Road, but Canyon Road, just like Canyon, along the south side of all of the lots from lot 111 to lot 132. Item 12, a landscape plan to come back to Planning Commission for approval to address all of the 10-foot the 10-foot additional landscaping as well as the roundabout. And item 13, the requirements. What was that one?
I rolled it up.
Okay.
I second that.
Okay, so we have a... I need to make one clarification. Yeah. I didn't hear with the echo so well.
Okay.
On Janet said 2.15, but it actually goes up to 2.35.
It goes up to 2.35.
Adam, did you change anything on
9?
9,
I just added the provide an additional 10 landscape 10 feet. I wanted to actually say that needs to be landscaped by the developer.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve by Adam with some changes to requirements and additional requirements. Was that a second?
Second.
Okay. A little bit of call for the vote on this. Jessica?
Yes.
Blade?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Wade?
Yes.
That motion carries. I do appreciate the developer's willingness to work with some of these issues. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on to item 2.2. I will actually take items 2.2 and 2.3 together. This is files 32S15 and 42C15. Edge Home located 6400 West Herman Parkway. This is for a proposed single-family subdivision. With 140 units and also the final PUD approval. The public hearing on this item was previously held on December the 3rd. So we will not be accepting additional public comment on this tonight, but I will make mention and give these to our deputy reporter. We have had comment forms submitted with additional comments on these two items tonight, so I will make sure they're entered into the public record. And they address some of the issues that we talked about in our work meeting prior, which was setbacks, the lot sizes, and trails was mentioned in here as well. So I will give these to Cindy to enter into the public record. So, Brent.
Right, so again, last time we continued this, again, to get familiar, this is part of the Creek Ridge SLR property that was annexed last year. This is the overall approved PUD we're talking about. Area C. We continued it last time to make a couple changes. So the first change they made was they removed the stub road to 6400, so there's no longer any access on the 6400. Once they did that, in order to meet fire, they slid this road over a little bit to get some separation between those two entrance points. That obviously made a couple changes around the inside. That was really the only, major change that was made since the last meeting. I guess the only concerns we've heard sounds like is the setbacks and the size of the lots along that east side.
Okay. Additional questions for Brian at this time? Okay, seeing none of the applicant would like to come forward. If you'll give your name and address for the record.
Good evening. My name is Brandon Watson, Edge Homes. Address is 482 West 800 North in Orem, Utah. So I think, we've talked about the items that was changed from the last time we were here, which we removed the stub road going on to 6400 West that went right there by lot 29. We moved it up along Harriman Parkway. And in order to meet fire code, we have to slide that road over, causing us to kind of reconfigure some of those lots along there. I think with regards to the setbacks along 6400 West, we're okay to keep them at what's approved on the master development agreement. So we'll waive our request for a smaller setback on that. That's fine with us. And then I guess regarding the lot sizes along 6400 West, I think that's one item that... We'd like to try to keep them the way they are. However, we're most certainly open to, if we want to try to change those, we can look at that and explore it, but I'm not quite sure what lot sizes we're wanting to have along there. Could that be a clarification question?
Okay. I think from my perspective and hearing some of the feedback from obviously the residents that live in the area, you know, there's larger lots. Granted, there's a fairly significant distance with 6400 West and the power corridor that runs through there. But I think been my desire, and I think others on the planning commission, to see a similar size lot as those that they're closest to in the area. I know that you presented some arguments, I guess, in the work meeting as to the power corridor and how that may affect some of those lots, which I certainly understand. So I guess the one question that I have then, in terms of you being okay with not asking for the rear setback exception on those lots, what's your plan, without increasing lot size, what's your plan then to accommodate that larger rear yard setback without having to adjust the layout?
We can keep the rear yard setbacks the way they are. We're fine with that, leaving it at 15 feet. We're okay with that. I think we've got the power corridor is 35 feet wide. So we do have that buffer from 6400 West, and 6400 West is an 80-foot collector road. So you've got it from backyard to backyard, from the adjacent neighborhood to our neighborhood, is you've got 115 feet right there. And again, that's from back fence to back fence, plus whatever however far those homes are set off those back fence lines. So I feel like there's a sufficient buffer along there. The power corridor is going to be enhanced with landscaping. It's going to have nice trees and trail system that will go along there. I think it's going to be a nice amenity to the community, to the city. I hope I answered that question.
Again, I think in terms of in those lots on 6400 West, you were asking for that exception to the rear yard setback at 10 feet. You're okay with leaving it at 15?
Yeah, we'll waive our request.
How will you accommodate then meeting that 15-foot rear yard setback in those lots without adjusting the lots at all, is my question.
We will just have to adjust the homes that will go on those lots. For example, we won't, if they want to have a pop out or something like that on the back of those homes that might encroach upon that, we won't allow that.
Okay. If other questions for the applicant. Okay. Don't see any right now. We'll let you go ahead and take a seat.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, we'll turn to planning commission members for further discussion, possible action on this item.
Clint, I might just, in the, they asked for the 10-foot rear yard on 64 and also on the south side. Because of the swale on the south side. If he still wants it either place or neither place, or just want to clarify this.
So, again, clarification on that. I apologize. I missed addressing it on the south side. You're okay waiving that request for...
Yeah, I think the only reason why we requested along there, again, it's just open space. It's along there. I didn't think it would be encroaching upon anything that way, but the commission feels like that's something they don't desire. We can waive that request.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Okay. Further comments or discussion?
My only issue is setback, from my perspective. I can understand that size of the lot, but I think the developers see what I'm looking for.
Okay. Other comments? The only other thing I think I would mention on this in particular was, still the desire to possibly try to utilize that detention basin in some manner. I realize there's going to be a larger regional park in close proximity, but again, I think there's still a desire when you have open space to utilize it in some manner. That would obviously that's just a desire, but not a requirement.
Okay.
Okay.
If you don't require it, it's going to be a desire.
I don't know if I want to call out on the corner of two major intersections from my perspective. So I mean,
Say that again.
I don't know if I want a top lot right on the corner of two major roads. Yeah, good point. It's just one of those things that I... It's not that I would require.
It is big enough that they could... I think, I don't know, but I'm assuming that they're always looking for practice areas for soccer or something like that.
Yeah,
for them to practice.
And it will be contentious.
It's going to be a flat box.
Yeah.
It'll be big, but it won't be. It'll be a little kid field kind of concept.
Correct.
It'll be like the one across from the high school, north of the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, we'll entertain the motion. I'll go ahead and make a motion. Okay. I would like to approve item 2.232S15, Edge Homes, 600 West Herman Parkway, with staff's recommendation with an additional 16.
Hold on.
That says all rear setbacks will meet the development.
That's on the PUD.
Then I'm good. I'll wait for that one.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve by Adam with staff departments.
Second.
Is that Wade? Wade, second.
Go ahead and take it.
Get you on that. Okay, we'll call for the vote on this. Wade?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Jessica?
Yes.
And that motion carries. We'll move on to item 2.3, which is the final PUD approval for the same parcel.
All right. I'm good now. I'd like to make a motion to approve item 2.342C15 with an alteration of number 4 to say that to strike out and only require that all rear yards are 15 feet in this development.
Okay. We have a motion to approve by Adam with modification to requirement number 4 on the rear yard setbacks.
Second.
And a second by Jessica. We're going to call for the vote. Jessica?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Wade?
Yes.
That motion carries. Okay, moving on to item 2.4. And again, we'll take 2.4 and 2.5 together. This is file 36S15 and file 45C15. This is Tim Self, located at 14199 South and 4800 West. This is for a proposed subdivision of townhomes, courtyard units, and stacked lots with commercial, as well as the final master plan approval for phase 1 and 2 of this proposed development. And this public hearing was previously held on December 17th. Brent.
This is in East Harriman. Again, we had this on last time. There's several different products within here, and we get the elevations in a minute. If you remember last time, they modified this third phase, added some more parking to this area, and pushed this back a little bit. We had issues with the on-streets, you know, the parking to back out of the street out here, so they've changed those to be parking lots there and there. I don't think there was anything else. You know, we wanted the parking by that. If you remember, there will be detention here, so this will be one big park here. We've got some parking there for that area. Again, we're looking at final approval for the first two phases, which is this side on the west side. With the third phase to come back with more details about this construction and timing and elevation. I can go through the elevations again for you. All the townhomes do have the two-car garage and the two-car driveway. And that's the mixed-use retail area. think you had some questions about colors and materials for them. So again, they can bring those back if you'd like to. So preliminary approval on the whole thing, so they have basically density approval on the whole thing. Final on the two phases with the third phase to come back is what they're asking.
Okay. Thank
you, Brandon.
Any further questions for
Brandon
at this time? Okay, seeing none, the applicant
would
like to come forward.
Thank you. It's good to see you again. Tim Soe, 5151 South, 900 East. We've been here a number of times. We've been through the staff report and talked about really just a couple of issues. We've reviewed the conditions. The one about 40th West and full improvements has to do with right-of-way that we don't own. I think we can address when we come back for final on the next phase. We'll need a little help with obtaining right-of-way if we are to do improvements on the half-way that we don't own. So we talked about that a little bit. The parking analysis is done and submitted. We ended up with an excess of parking. We expect to lose some as we grade that phase 3 property and step our building accordingly, so that parking lot will probably be interrupted by grade breaks in that parking lot. Brandon, as you mentioned, we took all the parking off public streets. The only parking we have on streets is on private streets for guest parking in the courtyard units. And I think that was all. As far as the color and materials board, we will submit that with the architectural design booklet when we come back and submit on the 21st.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Is there additional questions for the applicant at this point?
Tim, just briefly, just so I can understand, with your grade changes, I'm assuming that the only concern you may have is probably surface spaces on the mixed-use area only, correct?
As the grade falls, we'll need to step the building, and we'll need to step the parking as well instead of the access to.
But as far as the structured parking retail, you're not too worried about that. You're more worried about that big giant parking lot back, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, additional questions for the applicant? Okay, let's take a seat, Tim.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll turn to the commission for further discussion and possible action on this item. Again, we do have two items that are before us tonight. First one being the proposed subdivision, and then the second one would be the final master plan approval. Again, I think we're looking for preliminary on the whole thing with final on phase 1 and 2. And again, a couple of issues to mention as far as staff recommendations go. The one would be 4,000 West, as the applicant mentioned. But again, there's a possibility of dealing with that as we look at that final third phase. And then elevations and televerbs would be another. We'll open it up for further discussion.
I just think we need to tie to that the only location the parking can be reduced is under surface spaces under the mixed-use section.
Okay.
So that's the only location that could be give or take. I'm thinking 10% plus or minus.
I think that'd be sufficient. That's about 34.
I think the math, 2.2 doesn't lose, like, 17 spaces, which I think should be plenty.
Yeah. I'm more wanting to ensure we don't lose it from the
other areas,
the other specifically in that mixed use.
Well, you're getting final approval to those other two phases, so they're not, you know what I'm saying? They're not going
to
be.
So that'll be tied to that.
That'll be tied to that.
But I'm saying even on the preliminary, that's contingent on that same parking space, is my point.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
Other points of discussion?
Look at condition 10, Adam.
Condition 10. Yeah, 10. I'll revise that whole thing.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yep. Like you're ready.
All right. I'd like to make a motion to approve 2.436S15 with staff's recommendations. And that's just the subdivision, right? So.
Do you make any change on number 8? About the right-of-way, I don't know how you
I want to leave it, honestly, and we'll let city staff, our city engineer figure that out, and if there's an issue, we'll bring it back to us. I'm good with it. So I want to make it with the current motions and requirements.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve West Scout requirements by Adam.
I'll second it.
And a second by Wade. We'll call for the vote on this. Wade?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
And Jessica?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Moving on to item 2.5, this would be for the final master plan approval or preliminary over the entire site with final on phases 1 and 2. Would be the possible way for tonight.
All right. So I'd like to make a motion to approve item 2.545C15. With staff's recommendations with two adjustments on item 9, that all of the material boards come back to Planning Commission for approval on phases 1 and 2, and that phase 3 will still come back for final approval, so I'm not changing that. So, and Tim, if you'd like to bring the color board at the same time, good to go. And then on item 10, that I'm trying to use your parking summary here, so just a sec. That the parking space, the parking is approved as submitted. That
no,
for
it, numbers are better.
Okay, I'll do numbers. That's fine. For phase 1 and 2, that a total of 729 parking spaces are approved.
Can you say including driveways and garages?
Including driveways and garages. Do you want me to go down the table?
No.
Okay. With the mixed-use parking, that surface, that the total of the surface spaces cannot be reduced below 315, which is about 10%, so around 10.
Yep.
And that the flats and loft structure parking spaces is 199. And the retail is 136. So.
Second. Okay, so we have a motion to approve the staff recommendations with changes to number 9 and 10.
Yes.
To deal with elevations and material boards and the specifics on parking that are approved with each phase. And then we have a second by Chris. Okay, we'll call for the vote on this. Jessica?
Yes.
Blade?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Wade?
Yes.
That motion carries. Okay, moving on to item 2.6 on our agenda. This is file 09S14 and 23C14. This is Jetsco LLC located at 7300 West Rose Canyon Road. This is a proposal for a 2-year extension of a subdivision and PUD approval. Brent?
So we approved this subdivision a couple years ago. Here's the layout that was finally approved after a lot of time. So this is a lot of work on this one. They're just looking for, again, a couple years of extension to allow for some help with the market and being able to get these lots sold.
Okay.
The applicant is here if you have any questions.
Okay. Is there any questions for Brandon before we move the applicant on this one? Okay, seeing none, the applicant might come forward. Give your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Paul Middenhall. My address is 149 West, 1650 North, Centerville, Utah. Excuse me, I'm coming over cold.
Okay. Anything additional you'd like to add to the application?
No, that's it. We're working on a number of opportunities on the property as far as sales, and we're also looking very heavily at developing the property ourselves. But it's, you know, the property was approved in June of 2014. Plans were finally approved in January of 2015, so it's just a year ago the plans were approved. A lot of things have taken place in Harriman since then. All of 7300 West has changed, which is, you know, this is a difficult, it's a more expensive piece of property to develop. And the competition is, there's only so many lots that can be sold, so we're kind of backing up a little bit and saying, you know, what is the right timing, what is the right thing to do? I think that we're on the right side. Plus, with some other personal things, we've just decided that it's better to kind of wait a little while and let some of the market conditions improve. Because once we committed that once we start the project, we have to do all of the site work at one time. That's not that we can't do it. And just do a little bit here and there. We've got to do it all. So I know this is not an economic discussion, but just from a timing standpoint, it makes more sense to let some of the things take place that are happening within the city and be able to kind of get to the point where we can, we're trying to figure out some ways to deal with our rock issues that we have and we get our costs in play. Lot prices have not improved significantly based on where they were when we bought the property. So we're just looking if we can, we think the plan that we approved is a good plan. I think we went through a lot of work on that plan, and I think it meets a lot of the needs that we've talked about as far as minimum impact and buffers and a lot of other things that we wanted to accomplish. We still think it's a good plan, and starting over again is not where we really want to be, so we're really requesting an extension to give us the time to kind of let the market settle in a little bit and be able to execute the plan that we've approved.
Okay. All right. Is there additional questions for the applicant at this time?
I will just mention, just so everybody's aware, engineering approvals do expire, and there's nothing we can do about that. Because standards change, and so engineering approvals expire after 2 years, and then new engineering will have to be approved. Now, it could just be as simple as printing out the same sheets, but they do have to go through that process again with engineering.
And that isn't a problem. Yeah. We can work with a good zone.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Okay, thank you. Why don't you take a seat? Okay, we'll turn to the Planning Commission for discussion and possible action on this.
I'm okay with it.
So, based on what you said on number 19, that would be the one we would just have to say work with engineering to make sure any changes are met if we were to approve this. Is that what that is? Oh, I'm looking at the old one. Yeah. We need to add that? Is what you're saying? No.
No, you don't need to add anything. Okay. We just want to make sure. We can extend it to you, like I said, but they will have to do new engineering.
Taking a long time to get here.
Where we were all comfortable with the plan that this was originally approved on this. And so I don't have it.
You don't have an armor on it. I normally don't do this. I always want to get a little more out of them.
You're trying to get more out of you.
That's right. I think that it's a good plan. If they come back, we could have a worse plan that we'd have to work with. And so, with that, I would like to see it go 2 years and give them 2 years.
Is that a motion?
Absolutely. I move to approve 2.6, 109S14, Jedcos, 7300 West, Rose Canyon Road, 2 year extension. We have got no staff.
It's the same requirements that are originally approved with.
Yeah. Same requirements.
I'll second that.
Okay. So a motion to approve by Wade and a second by Wade. We'll call for the vote. Wade?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yeah.
Wade?
Yes.
And Jessica?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
Okay, moving on to items, again, take items 2.7 and 2.8 together to talk about these. This will be files 39S15 and file 56C07-11. This is Edge Homes, located at 14508 South Autumn Crest Boulevard. This is for a proposed subdivision of townhomes. That item is on for a public hearing, with the second item being the proposed final PUD for approval of the townhomes. Brent.
So this is in East Sherman, this is part of Rose Crest. This is basically a continuing phase of the Shadow Run project, which is north of this. So here's the one that we approved several months ago. It's almost built out at this point, and then this is the new phase that's down through here. So here's the layout for you. And again, subdivision and PUD, some elevations. These are actually some real pictures of some elevations. And remember, in the first phase, we added some additional stone to go all above the garage, so they continue that. You know, in this phase, you can see these as well, have some additional stone. And then I believe the applicant's got a PowerPoint for this building.
Okay. Any questions for Ray before we move to the applicant? Okay, seeing none, the applicant will go ahead. Come forward.
Good evening. I'm Jaron Nichols with Edge Homes. Address 42 West 800 North in Orem, Utah. So we're sad to see Shadow Run come to a close. It's been a fun project. And like we mentioned in the meeting before this, that it turned out really well. The topography, the ground there has really made for some really pretty views out there from the road driving through. It's just really pretty subdivision. We're excited to have people go through and look at it. So this would be the second phase, final phase for this townhome subdivision in this area. So So I wanted to point out that on the southern border of our subdivision is, we see here, the Juniper Canyon, a large open space area. So we're going to have several units that back that. They're going to have some pretty awesome views as well. So in the middle, on the left side, you can see there's a tot lot similar to the tot lot we have in our plot 27 in Harriman Town Center, and the same one we'll be proposing for the 26, plot 26, and later in the agenda. But it's a good sized tot lot. We went through back and forth the last time. I don't need to. If we have more questions on the side of the tot lot, it's a pretty good sized tot lot. And then this will be clubhouse number two. The similar clubhouse as the clubhouse that's being built right now in Shadow Run north of the first phase. So they're really beautiful buildings. People spend a lot of time in there. This particular one is in Broadmoor Estates in Lehigh. And there's a little covered area in the back, kind of kitchenette on the interior. So it's a really cool amenity for people to be able to have a party, have a get together in there. So it's a neat amenity. This is the tot lot that would be proposed for this subdivision. And like I said, it's a good sized tot lot there. They're really neat, and we've had a lot of success with them. So then we are going to have three styles of townhomes in this new development. This one is our townhome, our A-type townhome. As you can see in the green, that's where we're proposing the location for these. This is the elevation of this townhome. And I want to make a note before we go through all of them that the color schemes, the material types, for all three of these townhome styles will be identical to the material types and the construction material and the color schemes for the previous phase of the Shadowrun subdivision. So there is three bedrooms. These ones are kind of a traditional townhome where there's, it's a, you know, more of a second floor living. you've got your kitchen and dining room and living room area on the main floor, and you have three bedrooms on the upper floor. Our B-style townhome is kind of a deluxe-style townhome. It has ramblers on the end units, so those units, they're really nice, and like I mentioned, they're the ones that overlook. These three building types would be overlooking that Juniper Canyon viewscape right there. So these will be an ideal location for it, for this, and it brings an interesting dynamic to the subdivision. Allows people it'll allow for main level living. Some of the other ones don't necessarily allow for that. So that is the end unit. It has an attic option that goes along with it. Adds some additional living space upstairs. All of these have unfinished basements, so that's a little bit more square footage that would be there too. So that is a nice view here. On the end units, you can see the total finished square footage is just over 2,000 square feet, and the interiors have 1,600 square feet. So on the end units, you've got three bedrooms on the main level. You've got a master bedroom on the main level. And the other two are similar to the other layouts of the other townhomes that we will have in the subdivision, where they'll be second floor living, but have, you know, the dining room, the living room. And like Steve mentioned in our pre-meeting, that these have very open floor plans to them. I think you mentioned that someone had a 20-foot Christmas tree in one of the models or one of the units that were sold over there. So they're beautiful interiors. And the next slide of our Type C townhome is the one that exists in Shadow Run right now. That's the type we've been building. We've had a lot of success with. And this one, there's a elevation view of this. I wanted to show some of the interior pictures. This gives a good example of the fit and finish that our townhomes have. Shows the dining room and kitchen and the open staircase. This is another view of the kitchen. And here's the master bedroom. And this is our proposal for the extension of the Shadowrun subdivision. And thank you for your consideration.
Okay, is there any questions for our applicant at this point? Okay, seeing none, we'll let you go and take a seat. Again, item 2.7, which is the proposed subdivision for the townhomes, is on for a public hearing. So we'd like to move to that now. So again, anyone wishing to comment on this item, if you'll fill out one of our comment forms located in the rear of the room. And again, please state your name and address for the record as you come forward. So we'll open that public hearing now.
Hello, my name is Brianna Marney. My current residence is 4433 West Hill Shadow Way. I currently live in the first phase of the Shadow Run townhomes, and they are beautiful. I love living there. I purchased my property back in February of 2015. And at that time, when I was working with the Edge agent, I purchased the particular property that I did because I was told that there would be no townhomes built directly behind that property. It would either be a tot lot or a parking space right down the street from the current clubhouse that's being built. And so there was proposed space for that. And looking at the proposed plan, they're building it looks like they're proposing to build a set of four units directly behind us. Unfortunately, my neighbors weren't able to come tonight, but there are four of us in a set of townhomes there, and we were all sold with that same understanding that there would be nothing built directly behind us. And now the top lot, it looks like they're going to build a very nice one in this new phase two subdivision, but it's on the far west of the community, and then it looks like there's another tot lot that's going to be on the far east. So for those of us that are in the middle of the community, there's no really central place to enjoy the outdoor amenities. So I just wanted to see, voice my opinion and see what might be done about it.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Appreciate your comments. Is there anyone else wishing to comment on this item tonight. Okay, thank you. Seeing none, we will go ahead and close the public hearing on item 2.7. And we will, I don't know if the applicant wanted to comment at all on the concerns raised by their by the resident up in the area. We'll give them that opportunity if they choose to.
Steve Maddox, Edge Homes, 480 West, 800 North. We'd be more than happy to address that when we're after the meeting, if that would be appropriate. Thank you.
Okay, we'll turn to members of the Planning Commission for further discussion, possible action on these two items.
The only thing that I feel like, just to make sure what we think is going to get delivered is delivered, is to sort of define the size of the top lot. Other than that, I think everything else is in line. So just so it doesn't end up being one of those itty bitty backyard ones, and there you go, that's what you can do in your top lot. So. And I know they probably will provide exactly what's in the picture, but that way we can just ensure that. So.
Certainly can tie that to your requirement.
We did that on the other one.
Yep,
we did.
Yep. I just have a question for staff. I don't know how to do this other than this box is a lot more square than what's being proposed.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just curious about
because it's not the exact parcel shape.
This is what we're talking
this
about.
This is what we're talking about.
It is not what's...
No.
Okay, just want to make sure that we were tied to another...
No.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to make
because
sure.
I think that parcel shape is a little harder for us.
That makes sense. You're just using the parcel. Yeah.
Okay. Other items for discussion?
Yes, we need to talk about the size of the top. So,
I think you could just add to what was shown to us.
Well, I'll just show.
Well, let's try not to say what was shown, because again, the approval letter that becomes really rhetoric later when they're building it. Like, what was shown?
We did
the last time, size, I want to say it was 30 or 40 or 50. They felt an initial
Yeah. I mean, other than that, I don't see much of that.
I remember they like rattled off even the model number at the last time. I remember, right? Must have forgot since then. Yeah. Come on in.
Yes, and I have the exact size of it.
You want 30 by 50?
Okay. Then,
and I would just say 30 by 50 was not appropriate. It's just the film space.
Yeah.
You could end up with 30 by 50 and very small installed in there.
It's a lot.
And add that under the PUD requirement, not the subdivision.
Not the subdivision, correct. Okay. Other points of discussion? Okay.
The clubhouses are definitely changing. I'm used to the clubhouses with the pools and everything. Definitely a little bit different, but.
Okay, again, we'd like to take this in separate items. Just
addressing the
subdivision only.
So, do we need to add it into this one or the next one?
It would be on the PUD.
This one's very.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, so 39S15, motion to approve, which was item number 2.7, with all staff recommendations and requirements.
Okay, we have a motion to approve by Chris with staff's recommendations.
Second.
And a second by Jessica. call for the vote on this one. Jessica?
Yes.
Quade?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Wade?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Move on to item 2.8, which would be the proposed final PUD approval for the same area.
Motion to approve 2.8-56E07-11 with PUD requirements, with adding in just the number 12, I guess, that it'll be a 30-foot by 50-foot top lot size with appropriate structure to fill up.
Okay. We have a motion to approve by Chris with staff requirements with an additional with specification for the top lot.
I'll second.
And a second by Robin. We'll call for the vote on this. Wade?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Wade?
Yes.
And Jessica?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Okay. Sticking with Edge Homes. We'll move to items 2.9 and 2.10. So files 38S15 and file 14C08-19. Again, this is Edge Home, located at 13295 South Harriman Road Boulevard. This is for a proposed subdivision of single-family cluster units and condos, as well as the final master plan approval for the development. And the subdivision portion, beginning with item 2.9, is on for a public hearing. Bren.
This is in Town Center, adjacent to the PUD approved a month or so ago. See here on the map. This is for the future transit line. This is the same kind of condo units that we approved adjacent, and then these are basically smaller single family lots. These are, again, these are the condo elevations. They all have a single car garage driveway. And then some examples of some of the home elevations that could be in there. And the applicant does have a presentation on this one, too.
Okay. Is there any questions for Bren before we move to the applicant? All right, seeing none, let the applicant come forward.
Steve Maddox, Edge Homes, 480 West, 800 North. Several slight changes to this particular phase. We'll go back, Bryn. Thank you. We're going right to it. We have put a walking trail from the community to the open space, which is only able to be accessed through our pod right here. We're proposing a 50 by 50 sport court. We're not sure where the alignment in the detention basin will be. Our thought is to move that closer to the residents and then allow for some full court soccer for those of us that don't like to run, and allow some play area in here, which Harriman Town Center does not have a lot of open space. So we will open that up to the community. There was discussion about the tower property that is to the east of this. There will be townhomes adjacent to this, so we believe that this is perhaps more harmonious than even attached type housing, and this will be this will accentuate. The utilities will be determined how we terminate between municipalities, and we work with engineering on that. The private roadways, we believe, have laid this out with very small pods that allow accessibility between communities and neighborhoods. If those of you that are construction individuals want to know how we will build these, is we will excavate the entire pods. We will excavate six foundations at once and backfill those, and then move from pod to pod. So we will predetermine what homes we want, which lots, so that we control redundancy and architectural appeal, and then the alignment of the driveways that we were talking about earlier. So we will control that completely prior to the point of sale. Button my position on this. So the purple would display the residents that have full driveways, 20-foot driveways, the orange, pink, salmon, whatever color that is, would be the ones that do not have that, and then, of course, the 10 buses. And then the parking is represented by green. One of the requests that we have tonight is to allow a variance from your code. We would like to push the parking above the limits that code allows us to do. There's approximately 66 stalls, additional parking. We will actually stripe the parallel parking within the community so that we can act responsibly and have the HOA control that so that we can utilize every possible inch. I think the only item that I want to say is that there is no public street parking anywhere, so this is really a somewhat self-contained pod that we have, so the overflow, we believe, will induce those to utilize basements rather than garages and really work harmoniously as a community. There's the on-street parking, parallel parking, which will only be on one side of the street, and it will be controlled, like I said, through striping. The single-family residents are indicative of those that we have currently built in M3 up in Rosecrest. And the square footage is fairly large. We have one advantage here in the Rosecrest community, and that is we are flat, so we will hold these homes down to a minimum. Stairs and garages will be kept to a minimum. And stairs from the residents to the street will also be kept to a minimum. We do not have that luxury on the side of the building. This is a representation of a beautiful August 13th day, no snow, and perfect grass. I want to bring this up because we, as a HOA and as an association, will landscape every inch of the community, and it will be maintained on a long term. This will not be left up to the individuals to maintain their yard. So everything is common and maintained by the association. This is a picture of our model. This will be a home that will be replicated in there. Color schemes have already been presented, and we will adhere to those. This is just a picture of our open to below homes, which we believe really is what we believe in, is a very, very livable type of home, the community that we have built in other areas. in Rosecrest, this is where these homes are from. The 10-plex is of course, on the lower portion on the tracks border, and we believe that this will be a buffer for the tracks line. One of the items that we discussed to staff, which I don't know if we have an answer at this point, how we separate our residents from the area that will be the eventual track. So we are proposing a two-rail vinyl fence that will be raised at the time you determines to rip it out and put up their sound wall or whatever they want to do. But we think that we want to define property line. This is the open space that is for the entire community, but as you can see, it is locked. And again, the property to the east is Riverton City. And that is the extent. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there
additional
questions for the applicant?
I have. I'm good. You go first.
The 10-plex, is it planned to rent or sell?
For sale. I don't have a rental property.
For sale. Okay. Yeah.
You said basements on most of the...
All of the single-family homes will have basements. These, of course, will be slab on grade.
Okay. And then the open access, there's no parking there, so are you planning anybody to park down by where... excuse me. So when someone goes up in that open space, where are they going to park? That's just a question.
It will be walkable.
Okay, so only people in this property will have access to it?
No, it's open to the entire community. I don't know that it will be something that will be accessed. If you notice on the other side of the community, there's also another 1.5 acre site that will have street parking along there.
Okay.
It just so happens that we lucked out to have that in this particular pod.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I have more questions after the little carry.
All right. Any questions right now? Okay. Seeing none, I'll let you go ahead and take a seat. Thank you. Again, item 2.9, the proposed subdivision is on for a public hearing. And we'll remind you of our public comment policy procedure and the form located in the rear of the room. We'll go ahead and open the public hearing on item 2.9 at this time. So anyone wishing to comment on this item, feel free to come forward at this point. Okay, going once.
Okay, seeing no one wishing to comment on this item, we will go ahead and close the public hearing on item 2.9. This time, we'll turn to the Planning Commission for further discussion.
Again, just with the sports court, I think this needs to be a requirement. So instead of just a proposed, so.
Yep.
I have two concerns. It's just the alley width, pavement to pavement. Not that one's more of a minor for me, honestly, than how the 10-plex parking is going to work out. Just because I just see that those garages and parallel behind them will be extremely used, and therefore that street will be, I'm a little concerned just the parking in that region. I do appreciate all the other planning and stuff that's gone on. So those two are my biggest concerns.
Same concerns as you with parking. We always have issues with the parking and these types of developments. I did appreciate the parking tabulation that was presented and actually demonstrating that they had excess of what normally would be required in this area. I don't think we've ever been a body that has not tried to get as many stalls and parking areas as possible. So I appreciate him demonstrating that, but I agree with Adam that I think there is some potential for issues in this area with the 10-plexes having the one-car garage and the one-car. And again, still providing for the two required per unit, but that could get a little tight in there for sure. My concerns that I expressed in the work meeting prior were, again, as mentioned by Adam, the 20-foot, basically alley-loaded products and that width in there. I'm again a little more comfortable after the discussion as far as their layout in there and that additional width that's provided in front of the garage is a little different than some of the other products that have been approved in other areas and in the town center. But again, I do still have some concern over that width.
I heard the engineering. What was their recommendation on the width of the road? Did we hear that?
Four.
I heard that there was a change, an adjustment, but I didn't hear what the detail was.
In discussing this, it looked like his preference was a 24-foot width,
edge to edge,
from drivable surface.
Drivable.
Okay.
Steve had pointed out that it was 20-foot minimum in the ordinance. That is in the standard. The preference, obviously, would be 24.
Thank you.
Okay, additional comments?
So if we go 24, you're going to take the 3 foot out, so the building's going to stay the same.
Yes.
So it won't be a beautiful summer day. Will it?
It'll be a beautiful summer day with a lot less shrubs.
Yes. Sure.
So they'll probably just push it out to here. It'll lose all that.
Porch is 26, is that correct?
I'm sorry.
Yes, porch is 26.
And just with where the overflow parking is, I just wish somehow we could get it incorporated in between the big set of 10-plex buildings.
Because, realistically, we're going to see all 10 stalls taken and the 5 across the street.
Instantly.
Yes. Yeah. Like, as soon as people move in, that's what you got.
I'm just trying to think visitor-wise.
Then you have 10 down on the end that will probably be taken by those 10-plexes as well at the same time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there will be no guest or visitor parking available on the side, well, very readily, unless you get lucky and sneak in every once in a while.
Which I think is going to lead to those alleys being forced to be driven on the landscaping and your beautiful landscaping may struggle.
just hypothetically. I think you're going to have issues, especially on that half.
Yeah, I mean, that's where.
But those middle red units and everything else.
Maybe it's because I'm not seeing the buildings on here, and I'm just looking at the lot size. Maybe that's what it is. It just seems like jam-packed.
Well, I'm torn. Again, you're going to hate to hear me say this. We're right next to the corridor.
I agree. All I was wondering is almost like, you see where the yellow parking is?
Mm-hmm.
Flopping one of those 10-plexes over and sliding the yellow down a little bit. Somehow.
Putting it in the middle of them.
Huh?
Putting it in the middle of them.
Putting it in the middle and pushing that 10-plex up to the EZA right away. Somehow.
It would be ideal to have some parking somewhere in the middle of those.
That's honestly my biggest issue. The location of the parking so that we have some. You know, I mean, we can take care of visitor signage and stuff, this is truly visitors and all that stuff, but that requirement, but with where it is, the visitors are, they're just going to park wherever they can, and that even constrains that 20 feet even more, in my opinion. If we had extra, if it was totally parked really well by those 10 plexes, that 20 might not be as big a concern for me, honestly. It's just the combination of where it's sitting.
What do you tell me? Tell him to come back and retry?
I don't know what I've told him.
It doesn't look like there's any options on the current road alignment that is shown on this one, correct? For
what road is there?
Connection points.
Here? I think that road is set.
The only thing you could do is try and squeeze in the 10-plex on that side. It's going to affect 46 and 47.
Drop the 10-plex.
Or drop the 10-plex. I mean, you got driveways backing it up against parallel parking behind you, which is already going to be constrained anyway. And that driveway is actually, we're counting it as, it's really not a driveway, it's a parking space. We've got a parking space backing up.
How wide are those roads again?
The
35s. Those are 35s?
Okay. 35,
but you're
losing.
You
got
a
car on this. That's 35-foot right away, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So you're losing 7.5 feet of curb gutter sidewalk and that. And then you got another car, so that's really 15, so you're really on 20 feet.
So
that F-150, you know, like when I say that, when he goes to back out of his driveway, he's already hit the car behind him.
Which
I'm sure the garage will allow me to test that on the garbage. So, not worried about that this time. I'm really just worried about parking. Does the applicant have any idea of solutions to try and pull that parking close to those 10-plexes?
I don't know that you're ever going to regulate everybody, because I think that there will be those that have debris in the garage and those that are organized. One of the thoughts that we had is actually stickering those that are going to be in the community and have the HOA control the amount of vehicles and where those vehicles are at. The one caveat to this piece, opposed to the others that we brought in, is we really are kind of landlocked. And so the overspill will be blocks away. And I think the incentive to de-junk the garage and or find a storage unit if need be is significantly higher than the ability to flow onto public streets and within other communities. So they don't have the option of all the. We really are constrained here. I don't think they're going to go into Riverton. Those are private roads as well. And then Berry Creek is a public, and other than that, we're landlocked with tracks. And that won't be convenient to cross either at some point. when that's manipulated. So I think there is a component of self-regulation, and then there's an HOA component of stickering vehicles and not allowing to clutter. As a percentage, we have blown through the ordinance.
Totally
above and beyond that. And I know Blades talked about this a lot. If that track line were in place, I think it would be easier to believe in the vision that this would be a walkable community. Yeah. I mean, that people will be leaving their vehicles at home. I don't know how we plan today with the vision that in 2 years or 3 years that line will be hot. Yeah. But if we provide... I will go on record saying if we provide too much parking, it will be utilized and it can become a junk pile.
To be honest, my true issue is the location of the visitor parking, not in the center.
That isn't necessarily visitor parking. Everything's visitor parking. I'm not striking anything and saying visitor parking, but nobody will be allowed 24-hour parking and we won't have...
I agree, but if it's a walkable community and you're leaving your car at your home, your driveway is where you're leaving that car. If you have two cars... You're leaving those cars in the driveway and in the garage.
Yep.
And I get the walkable community. I totally understand that. But I highly doubt that the visitor is going to go into the neighbor next door and park on their driveway while they go visit their family. I'm just saying, the parking that we're counting in front, the driveway parking.
Yeah.
Those are definitely not visitor parking.
So that's been
well, on their count.
I'm almost saying, if you look at your old, if you look at the old plan, there's a spot where it shows the parking. Right?
It's four of them. Yeah, you understand, we'll strike those. So that there will be signs that say parking, parallel parking along there. So the net effect is essentially six per block. So we took out 13 and put in five. And so we didn't lose all of that parking that was construed.
You just incorporated it in parallel.
You just went parallel. Yeah. And so it's not lost. I think you're defining that as that's roadway. We're defining that as there is
true
space
parking.
And we will, yeah, and we will red curb the other area. So that is visitor parking. It should be overflow. People shouldn't have three vehicles in any of these units unless they can support that via parking stall, which they don't have.
What was your benefit in order to go that way versus traditional parking?
Excellent question. Our ability to build a little bigger home within the six packs. So we took that same space and put that inside of those lots.
You put it into the house.
We did.
Gotcha.
Yes. So a little bigger home. There is a buyer out there right now that wants the square footage of a larger lot and wants the maintenance benefit of living in a community, a walkable community, and a maintained community. And we underestimated the square footage that the buyers want, and they're going bigger, and they're going property corner to property corner. So 3-4 feet on each lot allows that home to grow. Yes.
That's why you're going to the 20-foot, you're trying to grow as big as you can. So would you have any issue with a requirement that the parking along the roads are described as visitor parking only? Especially along the 10-plex area?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think we limit visitor parking to probably no overnight or something, and we can determine that. But certainly we could allocate maybe every other is dedicated visitor parking.
Sure.
Or all. I'm trying to think of this downside of that. There probably isn't one.
I mean, really, that's what the parking is for.
Yeah.
Especially if
you're
right.
Yes, we
can do that.
So if I understand you correctly, you're saying no permanent residents are parking there. Long term.
So what do you do if somebody has a visitor staying overnight, if it's not 24 hours?
You can do a 24-48, but no long-term parking for a dilapidated vehicle owner.
I think you're going to have to rely on the HOA, don't get me wrong, but more than just common sense when you're a visitor going to meet Trump here.
I know, he just kept saying no overnight.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So. We can find to 24 in other communities, which means they at least have to come out and move the vehicle to a different stall. And it has regulated itself over time. So yes, we could sign that as visitor parking, dedicated visitor parking and strike the border.
Just along the 10.
in front of the tent.
Just along the tent. That's honestly where I'm
okay.
thinking right
now. More than happy to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any issues with that?
No. Beginner, there is obviously a little bit of a 22 here, and in the fact that we were, especially in the town center, we're building this to be a walkable community and incorporate transit into that. So we're trying to build it and plan for it when it's not currently there. So we have to deal with the issues until it comes into play and allows people to actually utilize it and reduce the number of vehicles they may own and where they need parking and stuff. We struggle with balance of that every single day.
Totally agree.
But I think the applicant's willingness to do some striping and signage there for visitor purposes helps. Definitely,
it's
a step in the right direction for us.
Yeah, I think that, and I also think that we need to have a requirement that says, since they're going to be owned, the 10-plex, each person is going to own the 10-plex, I think we need to point out that UTA is in their backyard. So there is a UTA right-of-way on the plat for that. So, you know, we always hear the concern, I didn't hear about that, that's not what the buyer agent sold me. Well, you know what, it's going to be on the plat. In my opinion, for those 10 plexes, I can see that being a fun meeting UTA finally gets here.
Mm-hmm.
And our vision of walkability is now changing to actuality.
Okay. Okay, additional comments, concerns?
Both of those conditions. Okay.
Right. I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay.
I move to approve item 2.9, 38S15.
With staff's recommendations, with an eighth requirement that the UTA right of way is denoted on the plat.
Okay. I have a motion by Adam to approve.
Go ahead.
Don't
think the parking is right, because you can double check the numbers.
I mean,
because
they just gave us this
plan
5 minutes ago. This is based on the
underline. Oh, I didn't even think about that. I apologize. I'll retract. I'll wait till we need to count.
No, I'm just trying to look at and see what
their slide had a.
Our slide shows 60. Meaning, can I? Don't we want to just look at the total on the other side to just tie it to 416 total stalls? This part right here.
Right at the 416 stalls.
You know, we just got the plan. I think maybe we continue it to the next meeting and make sure the staff's got it right and the
yeah,
parking
I think
is right.
That. You got a good point.
And we didn't get a chance to really digest it.
Okay. Like I said, I thought staff's recommendations was this plan, we just hadn't codes.
No, no, this was the one we just got before the
I just thought that we had seen that in plan, so then I totally agree. So I'll revise my motion.
Okay.
You can revise it?
Yep. I move to continue item
2.938S15.
Okay, so we have a motion to continue by Adam.
A second.
Second by Wade. Call for the vote, Jessica?
Yes.
Wade?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
And Wade?
Yes.
And that motion carried. Continued. We did specify in there
without aid.
You can say without aid, I guess. I'm sure it'll be back.
I can do that.
Okay. All right. So that motion carries. So move on to item 2.10. Which would be the final master plan approval of the same.
I'd like to also continue item 2.10, 14 COA 19 without date. So okay. Staff's recommendations can incorporate with the new plan.
Yeah,
I'll second that.
Is that Wade with the second? So motion continued by Adam with the second by Wade. Call for the vote on this item. Wade?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
And Jessica? That motion carries. We'll move on to item 2.11. This is file 51C15. Herman City, located at 151-02 South, 3200 West, and this is for proposed culinary water pump station. Brent.
All right, this is for the pump station. Again, east here, it's kind of down along the canal. This is for the water department. This is the line of the site. They actually, and I'll clarify this because just was concerned about fencing. They own both properties, but as you can see, the pump station itself only takes up a small portion of the property. So one of the requirements was to fence the property. We just meant the perimeter of the pump station, not the entire acreage that they own. Justin just wanted to make sure we were clear on that. This is one of the whole thing. So again, there's just a landscaping plan. This is a proposed elevation. And this is the one they built, and it will be very similar to this one now. Similar color. Any questions?
Question for Brian.
So where is he proposing the fence?
What? I'm going to go back to the...
You still like the fencing plan?
Oh, yes.
That's fast for me. I saw a circle and I saw a triangle, so I didn't quite see that.
So the fence will just be,
around.
Yeah, it's going to be around this. There's this whole other lot here.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant we were fenced off the retention basin as well.
No, see, the pump station is like right here.
Not that other piece.
This whole big piece, they're not doing anything with, so they're not
going
to. Okay, that will make sense. I just didn't want to have the retention basin not included in the fence.
Yes.
That's all I was
curious about. So we'll see if they make the requirements say, around the perimeter of the pump station site or something, not the entire pump. You know what? Whatever you want to do. I told Justin that he wanted to defend himself. He had to be here.
Isn't this right, Nick? I mean, honestly, I know we're joking, but isn't that really close to the question? What do you require from Questar?
Questar is...
It is close.
Where am I at?
Questar's pretty good.
It is over there somewhere.
Isn't Questar...
Is there one up here?
I don't know a lot of time for that, but they're adjacent to
the
site.
They're
right next to each other. They tie into each other.
Yeah, they're right next to each other.
This is the community college right here.
Okay, good point. But again, what did we
require? What do we remember?
I mean, I get it's our public utility.
Yeah.
You can approve a chain link fence per site plan approval if you want to. It has to be the black
fence. The black fence.
What's the fence that they have on the picture?
That's
my only concern, is that we're consistent. I mean, I know we've busted other utilities. I get that it's our city utility, but I think
maybe consistent.
And I don't know what that consistent is, but we always joke about.
Maybe we do it at the substation.
Substation, we made them put a precast around it.
Oh, the Rockland
Power,
yeah, they put it down.
Oh,
Power.
That's
the one we just did.
I'm just saying, I don't think that we should buck our own standard. If anything, we should be holding
it. Do you have the option?
There you go. Make the motion.
Make the motion.
Do we have someone else?
Yeah, Jonathan did it.
For the staff members to hold.
Jonathan, you have.
Is that what I think? I don't have anything additional to say. It sounds like Brent kind of took care of it for me.
Well,
do you have any questions specifically for me?
Are you all right with the precast?
Are we okay with precast?
Yeah,
we're okay with precast if that's what the commission requires. Justin's going to hate me.
Yes,
he's not here. There was.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, the alternative that Justin was looking at was the wrought iron fencing as opposed to kind of get the clear view through.
I'd
like
to be able to see into the
upstairs
for safety reasons.
But again,
that's
the utility
crack. You're right.
Totally agree, but it's mm-hmm. just saying we're
going to
be consistent.
I do look at a little bit of what the utilities are contained, you know, how they're contained. I totally believe we're being consistent, but I do look at it. Rocking
that
power, before talking
about their substation, obviously you have to have, you don't want anyone to
hear their electrical equipment.
Which is
right.
Fence, you know. Those
fences
are what you protect with.
And all the
rest
stuff.
Electrical.
Right.
It has nothing to do, I mean, honestly, I'm going to be realistic with you.
Precast has
nothing to do with protecting people from entering electrical hazards stations. They're like that. But my point is,
what I did talk to Justin about was the requirement for brick or stone on the building, of which there is none. I said if you made the building look better, they might be okay with an uglier fence. But if you cover it with a nice fence, then you probably make an ugly building. I kind of gave you an option to be really honest.
I'm okay making a motion to city, like, meaning to make a motion. I know what I will make. It's my recommendation.
Well, I'm glad we had this talk, because I was just joking. And now I'm glad to see how people really feel.
I think we need to be standard across the board. That's my point. We should have integrity behind us.
Let's see how you're going
to feel. If we need to change, that's it.
Your water rate will go up.
Just kidding. I'll be willing to pay that. Right, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
I would like to approve item 51C15 with staff recommendations with an adjustment to item 3 to install a 6-foot masonry wall around the entire property, meaning the triangle detention pond area, not the land next to it.
Yep.
Sufficient enough?
Okay, we have a motion to approve by Adam with a amendment to requirement number 3 staff recommendations.
I'll second it.
And a second by Wade. And a call for the vote. Wade?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Jessica?
Yes.
And motion carries. Okay, we'll move on to our legislative items. This will be item 3.1 on our agenda. This is file 27315. This is Harriman City proposed text change to land ordinance regarding family food production. This item is on for a public hearing. Brent.
All right. So we amended family food production 6 months ago, a year ago, I can't remember. But a couple things we just wanted to add change. We have the chickens in there, but we wanted to specifically exclude roosters because I had some questions about that. That was the one recommendation. The other was we didn't have any medium animals on the lot more than half an acre, which would be the sheep and goats. And we have had some requests and some comments about that. It says staff recommended one, There has been comments that we've heard back where two might be more appropriate. I think they almost like to be together, that kind of thing. And you have received some emails that I forwarded to you with some comments about that as well. This is not for public hearing, so you can have the public hearing. If you want to make a motion, again, this is a recommendation to the council. If you want to have the hearing, just continue it. Let's make more changes.
Okay. Hey, Bryn, this does not change the cat and dog rule, correct? This is different.
Nope.
This is addressing the two items right now.
Okay.
Specifically excluding roosters, putting out language right, which wasn't in there before, and then adding the possibility of okay, medium-sized animal. That number, I guess, is what we may have to wrestle with.
I want to say
that. So, any questions for Bryn before we move to the public hearing? Okay. Seeing none, we will go ahead and open the public hearing now on item 3.1. Again, a reminder of the comment form located in the rear of the room. And we will invite you to come forward now at this time if you'd like to comment on this item.
Good evening. My name is George Allen. I'm a resident of Bluffdale. Address is 14966 South Castle Valley Drive. And I was here originally to get information on the culinary pump house and give the graphics that have been displayed and the information. Our neighbors, our lot and our neighbors is directly to the west. Directly to the east, across the canal. So we're concerned about lighting, security, these sorts of things. And seeing that there's this other facility right up the canal, very similar to it, I think that's massage, and most of our concerns about that. One concern I do have is about 150th. I noticed on the graphic that was on the
sir,
that was
the this public hearing is specific to the text change that we have before us right now. I apologize that the other item wasn't on for public hearing for the pump house, but I would invite you, if you do have questions about that, Jonathan or from our engineering staff would be more than happy to visit with you on those. But again, this public hearing right now is specific to the text change before us on the family food production, and that's what we need to limit those comments to at this time.
Was there no public discussion of that item that I'm concerned about?
That was not on for a public hearing, no, sir.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Again, Jonathan, I'm sure would be happy to visit with you. Thank you. So again, the item before us for public hearing is on the proposed text change for the family food production. So again, anyone wishing to comment specifically on that item, if you'd like to come forward at this time. Okay, seeing none, we will go ahead and close the public hearing on item 3.1 on the proposed text change. Again, I will make mention of the emails.
Because we received the emails that he wanted to be here, but he was unfortunately couldn't make it this evening. So you have the information to send.
Yeah, so again, if you haven't had a chance to review those emails, then again, the possibility of discussing and continuing this item. I was able to review those emails, and they were Bryn mentioned quickly some of the items in that, and that talked about some of these animals that they do better in pair rather than singles. They wanted to talk see that more at two than one, and that was really, I think, the main point they were trying to make. I will say in regards to what's before us right now is. We put a lot of work in getting this ordinance to where it's at before us. I'm not interested in rehashing the whole ordinance. Again, that's my personal opinion. I'm interested in looking at the items that are before us, but I think we did a lot of work and we were all comfortable with the ordinance in general before us, and I don't necessarily want to open it up to a whole rediscussion of all of those things. That being said, I have no problem adding a medium animal to it, but I just do want to make mention or I guess bring up one concern that I have is we're talking about 0.49 acres or less. And when it comes to the 4-H and the FFA program, I grew up in those programs, and I think there's a lot of value. And I think that's kind of what we're talking and targeting here is allowing kids in some of these areas to still have these animals for 4-H and FFA, which I am in total support of. I just do want to mention that we're talking 0.49 acres or less in an A zone. We all know that we can get some small loss sizes still in an A zone. So I do want to be cautious that, it, you know, as we look at this, we consider all possibilities. And we talked before we didn't want to make a bunch of smaller categories in terms of lot sizes and limit them. We wanted to try and keep it a little more broad. But I think we need to realize the possibility that on a smaller lot, if we change this to two, you could end up with two goats or two sheep, you know, on a fairly small lot size still. Again, I just want to have that discussion. But I am in full support of allowing kids the opportunity because this opportunity when it comes to raising animals in a 4-H and FFA program is dwindling quickly. And again, it's a system I grew up in. There's a ton of benefits and a ton of great experience for our kids to gain through that. So I want to be supportive, but I want to be sensitive to the door or the possibilities this may open as we consider a possible change.
I want to put our hand on his Eagle House. His Eagle House was absolutely correct. He's absolutely correct. We are in an A zone. Should be for agriculture. Mm-hmm. 10,000 square foot minimum lot for that.
But if it's a PUD, it could be smaller.
Correct.
Then if it's a PUD,
it could be 8,000 square feet.
Yep.
Well,
that's the only concern that I want to make sure we talk about.
Then you better put something in there on PUDs because we want to promote agriculture.
Yeah.
If we're not going to promote agriculture, do it all residential and forget it.
But in reality, an 8,000 square foot, two medium animals, okay? I don't see an issue still. I don't. It's an 8,000 square foot.
You see people with two big dogs on that. That's the same to me.
I'm not saying I have an issue. I just wanted to make sure that we talked about it.
No, I agree.
Yeah. What's kind of what we may consider.
Yeah, I think the text change at the top is right on, and then at the bottom, I don't have any problem with two medium animals personally, but that's me.
Okay.
So I don't either. And if you wanted to limit it to FFA or 4-H, then do that. But give these kids an opportunity.
Yeah,
to
I agree 100%.
We could do that in that one particular 0.49 acres or less. You can have two medium animals if it's tied to that, I guess. But I don't have any problems either way.
So the only issue I have is the roosters, and I know that's not totally stupid, but the reason I have it is because we're actually limiting that there would not be one rooster in the city of Harriman if we put them in.
No, there would not one under family food.
So agreed.
I just don't care is what I'm saying. That line.
We would never allow them before, you know, because chickens we never have before, but it just was never in there. People are starting to.
And that's what I'm saying.
On that?
For me, one of my concerns is that even if one of these big. The people that are larger landowners over here decide that they want to raise a couple chickens and they want to have roosters on 100 acres. We are limiting that. That's my point. So I totally agree with the two medium. I just don't really care about the rooster, to be honest, and that's just my opinion. So I don't think it matters. It'll take care of itself. We're trying to restrict too much, is my point. I get the roosters and I get they're noisy, but in reality.
But again, you're in an agriculture area.
Agreed. And so I actually agree that.
The smell comes, the roosters wake up. That's what happens if you want to be in an A zone.
I'm looking at. Blade, I look at you if you have some land. If you decided to go buy a rooster and a chicken, if we pass this and you want to produce off of that, you can't. And that's on something that's a big piece of land. I can totally.
I guess it wouldn't define that as family food production.
What if it's an acre?
It was just one acre.
An acre is a lot. An acre is a lot of property.
Coralie promised me.
I'm just saying, I think we should change the ordinance to two medium animals. No, that's fine. The rooster part is all I'm saying. I don't care.
And again, this is a recommendation to the city council. So yep. We make a recommendation, final decision is going to be there.
So I don't see the reason why we want to sit and debate it anymore.
So I'll make the motion.
Let's do it.
I move to make the recommendation to the city council to approve the ordinance with two requirements, strike out exclude roosters, just because I think that limits the whole city.
All right.
And add two medium animals for 0.49 acres or less. And we'll let the council decide.
Okay. Okay. We have a motion for recommending approval to the city council by Adam with two changes to the proposal. That is, delete the addition of excluding roosters and adding two medium animals, 0.449 acre plus. So that's the motion for us.
I'll second.
And we have a second by Ron. Okay, we'll call for the vote on this. Wade.
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Robin?
Yes.
Blake?
I just don't want to limit these kids.
I'm actually going to give it a more.
I don't know if you are. I'm going to say no, and I'll tell you that.
Okay. Yes, Jessica.
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries. That item will be forwarded on to City Council, and that will be, you know, at when that will come close to City Council.
It will be February.
Correct. Okay.
What the heck?
Okay, thank you. Are there any other items that need to be brought forward by a member of the Planning Commission this time?
Yes,
we will review our future meetings. The next regularly scheduled City Council meeting will be next Wednesday, January 13th at 7 p.m. But our next scheduled Planning Commission will be on Thursday, January 21st at 7 p.m. Seeing no other business, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
A motion by Jessica.
Second.
Second by Adam. All in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.